Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears that it may bear fruit in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a choice before you today. A choice of cosmic significance. A choice whose consequences will last far longer than the consequences of any American election. This is a choice of eternal significance. A choice that will set into motion a series of events far more significant than any military conflict anywhere on this earth. A choice of eternal ramifications. Robert Frost's Two Roads Diverging in a Yellow Wood is nothing compared to the roads before you this morning, before you every day. With heaven and earth as witnesses, before you today are good and evil, life and death, a path filled with blessings and another with curses. So which one will you choose? Moses doesn't mince words. As the Israelites' days of wandering in the wilderness were drawing to a close, Moses is very forthright. Life in the promised land was before them, and when they took possession of that land, they would have a choice to make. The same choice the people of God must make in every generation. If they obeyed the commandments of the Lord their God by walking in his ways, by keeping his statutes and his rules, well, then they would live and multiply, and the Lord God would bless them in that land. But if their hearts turned away, if they would not hear God's word, if instead they worshiped the false gods of the Canaanites, well, then they would surely perish. Joshua placed the same choice before the Israelites a few short years later, when their conquest into the land was done. When all their enemies had been defeated, when the land belonged to the Israelites, Joshua looked to the people and he said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, well, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, the gods beyond the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As the Israelites of old had a choice to make, serve the only true God, Yahweh, serve him alone, or serve something else. The Israelites of old had a choice to make. And if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you know they made the wrong one. We have a choice to make. A choice between life and death. We have a choice to make today. A choice to make tomorrow. A choice to make every day between that which is good and that which is evil. The choice between blessing and curse. Something we face every day that we walk on this earth. Every morning, Joshua's question is there to greet us. Choose this day whom you will serve. Each sunrise brings with it the two paths of Moses, the way of life, the way of death. Which one will you choose? Now, on some level, it sounds like a silly question. Given the options between life and death, who wouldn't choose life? Given the alternative between blessings and curses, who wouldn't choose blessings? If only it were that simple. We have before us today the choice between life and death, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In him all things live and move and have their being. To take Moses' advice and choose life, that means to choose Jesus. That part seems obvious. And yet Jesus has a warning in today's gospel reading for any who would seek to choose him. Jesus tells his would-be followers, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, his wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, well, that one cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, that one cannot be my disciple." That thought of hating family is a tough one. But we have to hear these words as they were spoken by a first century Israelite. It's not hate in the sense that the mere sight of your family fills you with loathing. That's not hate in the sense that in order to be a disciple of Jesus, the mere thought of your parents or children has to make you nauseous. No, Jesus doesn't even allow us to feel that type of hate for our enemies, much less for our family. When Jesus says hate, he means it in the sense of recognizing the lack of value in something. To hate something in this sense means to recognize that it's not good enough. To hate something in this sense is to reject it in favor of something else. So Jesus tells those who want to follow him that anyone who relies on anything else other than Jesus cannot be his disciple. Why does he single out family? Well, perhaps it's because the typical first century Israelite would have placed great emphasis on his family line. Most of them assumed that their place as an ethnic descendant of Abraham guaranteed them a spot in God's kingdom. Jesus tells them that could not be farther from the truth. Your ancestry does not get you into heaven. Jesus gets you into heaven. So if you want to choose life, you must first recognize that all other earthly options are lacking. Nothing else comes close to what Jesus alone can give. You must turn away from not only your ancestry, but even your own life. You must recognize that anything you have to offer could never measure up to the debt you owe. There's nothing that could ever cover the stain of sin on our lives. You know, to be a disciple of Jesus, one must take up his own cross and follow Jesus. To take up your cross means to die. Not in the sense that you literally kill yourself, but in the sense that you stop trying to offer things to God. Stop trying to rely on your own abilities and instead act before him as a dead person acts. That's how you follow Jesus, he says. And to follow Jesus means simply to get behind him. Not like he's the line leader, but in the sense that you might get behind a politician or a team or a program. To get behind Jesus means to be identified with him. And so what Jesus is saying in short is that if a person does not recognize the lack of value in the things he can offer God, such a person cannot be Christian. No, if anyone wants to be a disciple of Jesus, he must die to himself and identify himself with Jesus. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against with 20,000? There's a choice before us, a choice of eternal and cosmic significance, a choice of epic proportions. Weigh the options, Jesus says, count the cost. Hadn't you better see if you have enough resources to finish the project, like a builder who counts his money before starting the tower? Hadn't you better make sure you're not entering into a no-win situation, like a king who sends his army into battle even though they're outnumbered 2-1? Count the cost, Jesus says. But let us not miss the nuance of the illustrations he uses to make the point. The point of these illustrations is not simply to warn us that the cost of following Jesus is high. The point is not simply to warn us against making a hasty decision to be a disciple. The point is that neither the builder nor the king was able to complete the project before them. Neither one had what was necessary to build the task. There is a choice before us today, but when we count the cost of that choice, when we count the cost of discipleship, we see it's a cost that we could never pay. We are woefully underfunded. Our tower will never reach high enough. We are woefully outnumbered. We don't stand a chance against the army of death. Yes, there are two choices before us today, but ultimately, it's no choice at all. Think of it like this. According to Forbes magazine, as of August 2025, the Dallas Cowboys are the world's most valuable sport franchise. They're worth an estimated $13 billion. And so if, in an act of generosity, Jerry Jones tried to sell me the Cowboys for the bargain price of $2 billion, I still couldn't buy them. Might be a nice deal, but I don't have that kind of money. That's ultimately the point Jesus is trying to make in today's gospel reading. He's not telling us to count the cost of following him so that we understand the gravity of what we are in for. He's telling us to count the cost of discipleship to see that we are totally and completely incapable to pay it. Go ahead, count the cost of salvation. You can't pay that. You can't build that tower. Look at the army you're facing. You can't defeat that. You're outnumbered 2-1. Only a fool would even try with those odds. Therefore, Jesus says, renounce everything that you are, turn away from everything you think you could offer, and instead, cling to him. Find your strength in what he has done for you. For in him, the cost of our discipleship has already been paid. He considered the cost of our salvation. He looked at what it would take to build not a tower from earth to heaven, but a ladder from heaven to earth. He knew what it would cost to defeat the army of Satan with all his minions. He considered what it would cost him. He decided not only that he could pay it, but that he would. You are worth that price to him. He took on human flesh for you, knowing full well what would happen to that flesh, but he did so willingly for you. He lived a human life knowing exactly what he would suffer in that life, knowing that such a life would end in agony on the cross, but he does it willingly for you. The Lamb goes uncomplaining forth. He counted the cost of our salvation. He looked at the price tag, and then he paid all that was owed. He purchased you. He won you, not with gold or silver, with his holy precious blood, his innocent suffering and death. There is indeed a cost to discipleship, but it's not ours to pay. It's already been paid. Jesus paid it for you. And so yes, we wake up every morning with a choice before us, today and every day, the choice between life and death, blessings and curses. But more important is the choice our Lord has already made. He chose you, just as he chose Israel in the days of Moses and Joshua. He has delivered you from your slavery to sin. He has defeated the enemies of death and the devil who stand in your way. He has prepared a place for you. To choose him is no choice at all. It is simply to live the life he has already given us. And that's what we ask our Lord to do today and every day. To continue to send us his Spirit, that we would take up our cross, dying to ourselves, setting aside our own efforts at salvation, and instead living freely in the blessings that he so generously gives, the life and salvation to his people. May our Lord grant us this gift and this life in him, in Jesus' name. Amen.